Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Happy Christmas.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now only 8 shopping days left until Christmas. It's getting close, y'all. We're coming down to the wire. But you know what that means? That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my co-host, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hola.
Hola, Señor Roboto. So we are here to kind of introduce this stocking stuffer, which we recorded a couple of months back at a time when we weren't sure entirely when we were going to drop it, but we figured now was a good time to do so. So, John, real quick, do you remember anything at all from having recorded this episode?
Very vaguely. I remember the animation looked like I don't want to say sub Williams Street, but it was like it's like a weird mirror universe in terms of quality of like about like the Brack Show, pretty much.
Yeah,
it's not bad, but it's low budget.
Yeah, it's like a step above Flash animation, but just barely. And I remember it was kind of released in, I want to say it was like in that era where Flash animation was really becoming like popular.
This was Bush era. So yeah.
Yeah. So that's the league of work we're working with in this episode. But we kind of just wanted to come in here, give y'all a quick sort of update as to what's going on because it's Christmas and this is a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, it's kind of devoid of context when we're recording this months later. But what happened was, at the time, I was basically fell down a wiki hole related to Columbine. And that led me to the Lost Media Wiki about just various random topics. And then I decided to just search Lost Media Wiki for Christmas. And that's how I found Cranberry Christmas.
Yeah, because you found it under the found section, right? Like
yes.
It had been discovered. And it was on YouTube. That's how we watched it.
Yeah, it was a TV special that was on originally in some year or another, which would probably behoove me to look up what year it was real quick.
2008.
Yeah, it was on 2008, presented commercial-free, sponsored by Ocean Spray, as part of, I want to say, ABC's like thing where they did 25 different nights of programming that year.
That sounds right, yeah. I believe, let me see here. Well, we talk about this in the episode, so we don't have to belabor that point. But yeah, this was definitely an interesting thing for us, and so you're going to get to hear Bradford back as well on this episode, and I guess without further ado, why don't we just go jump into Cranberry Christmas.
Happy Christmas! Happy Christmas! Woohoo!
TV shows, films, short films, short cartoons, holiday detritus in all of its forms. That's what we're here for tonight. This is a stocking stuffer tonight. We're not doing an episode of a TV show. We're going to be spotlighting a special Lost holiday special because we thought this might be interesting, and we'll see where the next half hour takes us. But for now, I am your host, Joseph Wade. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
I ran out of cans to open, sorry.
That's okay. So did I. And Mr. Bradford, is he back as well? Brad?
So, that was me opening a bottle because I don't have any cans left either.
Bottle check.
This is 750 milliliters of beer, so this is probably going to be a very bad idea.
We'll see. You've got 30 minutes to decide.
I've got 30 minutes to down an entire liter of... No.
So, gentlemen, to start off this very special episode, I want to read off to you some fun facts. Did you know that 90% of Australians live on the coast?
I did know that.
Tasmania has the cleanest air in the world.
I did not know that.
Did you know that Australia has over 60 separate wine regions?
No.
Hang on, wait a minute.
Why are you telling me Australia facts, Joe?
I thought we were talking about a Canberra Christmas.
Oh, I was going to go there, but you did it.
But I put the legwork into that joke, okay, Brad? Give me some credit. Okay, so I'm sorely mistaken. What are we here for tonight?
We're apparently watching Jerry Maguire because you're that annoying f***ing kid.
I am Jonathan Lipnicki. You found me out.
We watched Barry Manilow's Canberra Christmas.
We watched Barry Manilow's wardrobe get ruined by the principal.
We watched Ocean Spray Presents, a Barry Manilow production, A Cranberry Christmas.
There's even Barry in his name. Oh my goodness.
Berry Manilow.
A Cranberry Manilow Christmas.
Only because Barry Gordy turned it down. That's the only reason they got Barry Manilow.
Can you imagine, if you will, for just a hot second, Barry Manilow's The Last Dragon? Okay. And having said that, let's move on. Jonathan, you brought this to our attention, so please explain to us what the hell A Cranberry Christmas is.
Explain yourself.
Well, I was trying to find the Columbine basement tapes, and instead I found this. I don't know if this was a victory or...
I do know that this resulted in Jonathan spending 10 minutes explaining the Columbine shootings to me over the phone.
Oh my god. Really? You know...
Yes.
Okay.
The short version of the story is, if you try to blame the Columbine shootings on any one thing, regardless of what that one thing is, you're f***ing wrong and probably being disingenuous. This came up because recently people were trying to blame it on white nationalism, and it's like, no, you can't blame something that happened in 1999 on 2019's version of internet white nationalism.
Yes. I read the book on it. It was...
Yes, the book by, what's that guy's name?
Extensive.
David Cullen, I think.
Yeah.
Why did I do this?
Anyway, long story short, I was looking around a Lost Media Wiki, and I was looking at, like, what are some lost things? What are some found things is what I was looking for. And I found Cranberry Christmas, and I was like, I don't know what this is, but it sounds stupid as hell. And it was.
You successfully pulled up this podcast, because the two of us were prepared to just take this into a discussion of the Columbine shooting, which we probably should not do for many various reasons.
So, originally this aired as... I think 2008 was the year. ABC Family did some nonsense 25 Days of Christmas thing where every night they showed a different thing.
I thought they still did that.
They still do that, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just they're not called ABC Family anymore because Disney decided that wasn't a very good brand. So they rebranded that channel as hashtag Freeform.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
That's what teenagers
yep.
are. Yes.
He's dead serious.
Man, every day I'm just one step closer to going full Kaczynski and buying a goddamn cabin in the woods.
Anyway, so this thing
was
go on.
Apparently, Cranberry Christmas was originally a book from the 70s, and Ocean Spray got into their heads to sponsor a animated version Christmas special of it. Which, according to someone on IMDb, the special is not all that faithful to the book. Somehow,
huh?
Which would explain why the entire time I was watching a special, I was just like, why am I watching a worse How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Basically.
I have to imagine that's still what the book is about, though. None of us did the research to read the book beforehand, but the special stands on its own and speaks for itself. The special is... Yeah, I mean, you guys already said it. It's a Grinch knockoff of the lowest caliber, because the animation in this special is subpar at best.
It's not the worst I've seen by a damn sight, but it very much reminds me of, like, the first William Street productions. Like, it's like Brack Show quality, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely done in Flash. Like, it was definitely done on a shoestring budget, no matter how you slice it, other than the fact that they got Barry Manilow to score it and narrate it, which is a weird thing.
That's obviously where all the money went.
Yeah.
In the production. That's where all of the Ocean Spray money went. But the animation, like, the best way I can describe it is, like, yeah, like you said, is William Street kind of style production, but, like, photographs on screen being manipulated to seem like they're moving and not different cells being drawn per, you know, frame. It's very odd, and it made me feel like I accidentally...
Yeah, the characters were a little more, like, in motion than in William Street stuff, but it just made you realize, oh, that's why the characters in William Street stuff just stand still.
Yeah, but, like, all, like, the animation of, like, the children standing, like, the animation of the children going arm in arm as they're ice skating around, and it's just like one static image that's being shuttled around the screen.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very cheesy and very bad. And it made me feel like I accidentally turned my TV to, you know, channel 12.2, which I'm pretty sure is like the sub station of some Christian TV network around here or something.
So there's,
it's very odd.
So there's also a Cranberry Thanksgiving by the same author and Cranberry Halloween by the same authors.
So there is still the potential we could be discussing a Cranberry Halloween at some point.
Correct. And unfortunately, my library does not have an ebook version of it available.
Winda people, were they like hired Ocean Spray guns, or are they just in it for the love of the game?
I think they just wicked like cranberries, my dude.
I mean, there's worse things to be into in this world, honestly.
Yeah.
Like Marvel movies.
You know, I was really expecting to learn something about cranberries in this special, and I did not.
I learned that they come from bogs in New England, but that's more I didn't bother to know where they came from beforehand.
I mean, I knew that because I've seen Ocean Spray commercials on TV.
Yeah, this started out with the two guys that were in every Ocean Spray commercial in like the late 2000s.
The commercials have never changed because they still do these commercials where it's just two guys standing in a bog, you know, being kind of country bumpkin types talking about how great their
it's the Sonic guys but with cranberries.
Exactly. Yeah. And they've been doing this for decades, I think, at this point. But so the special, let's just hop straight into the plot because there's not a whole lot of it. Mr. Cyrus Grape is angry at the children of, what is the name of the town?
Cranberryport.
Cranberryport. He's angry at the children of Cranberryport because they're ice skating on his pond, even though Mr. Whiskers, who lives next door, is adamant that it's actually his cranberry bog. And the two of them get into this a huge pissing match over who actually owns the rights to the bog / pond. So they set about having to present the deed to one another. And when Grape discovers that he doesn't have a deed, but Whiskers does, Grape
not even
sets
then.
About...
He discovers he doesn't have it, therefore Whiskers must have it, is what he decides.
Therefore Whiskers must have it, therefore he must see to it that Whiskers either never finds it, or loses it, or, you know what, how about loses his house? Because that's where this goes. Whiskers finds a letter. Okay, but let me stop. Let me just stop the train at this point. Mr. Grape and Mr. Whiskers are both voiced by two, like, very prolific voice actors. Grape is voiced by Jeff Bennett, who I know is Johnny Bravo. And Whiskers is voiced by Rob Paulsen, who I know is Yakko Warner. So when I'm watching these two, all I hear is Johnny Bravo yelling at Yakko Warner.
Yeah.
Which, and then Cousin Catherine is there, like, trying to mediate.
Yeah, she's, like, trying to play... not both sides against the other, but she's trying to keep the two, you know, apart.
When I was thinking about her, like, oh, she does voices for cartoons, I was like, I wonder if she did Louie's mom on Life with Louie. And she did not. She did Louie's aunt on Life with Louie because Louie's mom was Grace from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You know, that's the first time in about 20 years I've even thought about Life with Louie.
She was the mom on Tasmania, however, though. So you know you think about Tasmania for a while.
Okay, great. Anywhoosin. Mr. Whiskers finds a letter that his sister sent to him 2 months ago, saying that she was coming to visit him on Christmas Eve, and if his house is as dirty as it was the last time she visited, she's going to take him away and make him live with her in the big city. But he doesn't want to live in the big
city. Well, it's pretty cool that she just wrote down her premeditated kidnapping plan.
I know. I mean, would that stand up in court? That absolutely would, I think. Okay, don't answer me.
I think that unless he is not found cognizant of his own, you know, unless he's found incompetent, I think that would constitute kidnapping, yes.
And then the question becomes, does a dirty house constitute incompetent? Because according to her, it does.
It's not on, like, the level of hoarding. I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's just he has a bunch of mail that he doesn't know what to do with, which honestly I can relate to because I have a bunch of mail that I don't know what to do with.
Same.
Burn it.
I mean, it's starting to get cool out. I might have to. So Mr. Whiskers is despondent at this turn of events because, oh my gosh, Christmas Eve is tonight and she's coming today. And
I've already scheduled two dates at the same restaurant.
And my boss is coming home for dinner.
So I was trying to, the reason I've been so silent is because I don't do any prior research, and I was trying to look up the ebook version of this book, and I found some pages, and I regret to tell you that it doesn't even rhyme. It's not done in, like, rhyming, so what's even the point of me reading this?
I mean, you can rewrite it and make it rhyme.
Mr. Whiskers had a problem.
E-I-E-I-O.
E-I-E-I-O. No.
Can't rhyme E-I-E-I-O with itself.
rhyme that was a word with the same word because you like it. All right. Yeah, Mr. Whiskers is going to get kidnapped by his sister. He doesn't want to live in the city, which is the worst thing ever, apparently.
Have you been to cities? I believe it.
there are people that don't look like us there. Sorry. Anyways, so yeah, Mr. Grape can't find his deed, and so he trashes Mr. Whiskers' house beyond how trashed it was, to the level of like vandalism. He destroys an entire floor of the house, essentially.
In my notes, I wrote that he just straight up cuts Whiskers' entire house off.
Yeah, he does. But here's the thing. There's sort of like a woe is me sort of situation. It's not really addressed, but is it Madeline? Maggie. Maggie and Grandma show up to Mr. Whiskers, and they're like, oh, don't worry, we'll help. And then he goes to pick up his sister from the airport, and they come back, and the entire house is immaculate. Despite the fact that an entire bed and floor has fallen from the ceiling into his living room.
Yeah, in the style of like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Do they ever address, granted I was not paying the most rapt attention to this special, but do they ever address how that happened, how they fixed it?
Well, I mean, considering his sister was dressed like Dolores Umbridge, obviously the granny was a witch.
Christmas magic. Christmas magic. Yeah, they don't even get to like, oh, it's a magical Christmas miracle. It just is. So
it just is. That's the power of Christmas. Because as Maggie says at the end, anything can happen at Christmas. See, the Christmas tree is still standing.
Yeah, that was one.
Like, that means anything.
This whole special could have been avoided if either of these men kept accurate records, or they just went down to the county registrar to see who actually had the deed to that plot.
Or if someone just shot Mr. Grape and threw him into a cranberry bog.
So speaking of fun facts, did you ever hear, I remember hearing this story about this town where there was this one family that were just bullies, kind of on the same level of Mr. Grape. And essentially, this was back before telecommunications or whatever, and the entire town just basically said, you know what? These guys, and they all just went and straight up murdered the entire family and just said, we're never gonna say anything about this again, just because they were such a pain in the ass to everybody in the town.
I've never heard this. No,
I'll try to look it up so you can have it in the show notes. I'm 100% okay. Certain this is a thing that happened.
And that town was called Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
maybe there should have been some mob justice on Mr. Grape because he's a little shit.
He is so angry and antagonistic. At one point, he even turns to the camera and starts antagonizing the viewer. Because, like, there's a whole running gag going on through this thing where he says it's his pond, and then someone says, it's a bog, sir. To the point where even a frog corrects him.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the camera, and he starts antagonizing the viewer. And the camera zooms in on him so close that the f***ing screen cracks.
I was okay and with. Like, I'm a big.
Good, it's a good joke, but who is it for?
Yeah,
that's it, you know who it's for. It's for Mel Brooks because I'm pretty sure they stole it from High Anxiety.
See, the answer is it's for Bradford because Bradford will be able to forgive anything if it has a fourth wall break in it because that's how he works. That's how his brain operates. Because I was like, oh, this is
yeah. Somehow
so
you don't want to watch Deadpool.
Well, because Deadpool is very much a. If you listen to our last episode, I said I wasn't really interested in watching Deadpool because when, no offense to my father and no offense to my coworkers, but when they tell me that this is the most hilarious movie that they've ever seen and it's very much like a Spencer's Gifts sort of humor, I'm kind of over it already. I don't know.
The humor in Deadpool is very, like, look how clever we are, kind of.
Yeah. Well, isn't it also, like, grimdark, look how edgy, lol, random we are, kind of?
Yes. It's very yes.
It's basically if you took Invader Zim and put it into a late, you know, into a modern superhero film.
That's a good way to put it. It's live-action Invader Zim, yeah.
Okay, so I have really no interest in watching this film, or these films. So, there you have it, folks.
I appreciate that we can reference a Mel Brooks film that no one's ever seen and also Invader Zim in the same breath as A Cranberry Christmas. Our wheelhouse is gigantic.
All right, let's take this off into a quick side road. Speaking of Invader Zim, it got a Netflix reboot recently. Have either of you seen the Rocco Netflix reboot?
I mean to watch that. I have not yet, though.
You have, Joe?
I have, yes.
What did you think of it?
Brett, have you seen it?
So it was really weird. I watched it last night, basically right before Cranberry Christmas. I went to bed at my normal time, which is like 10:30, and I woke up at like 1:30. I couldn't get back to sleep, and I was like, okay, it's time to watch the Rocco special. It was okay. It was fine.
It's nice. It's not bad. Like, I appreciate that it exists.
But... yeah. I mean, I like Rocco a lot. I liked the original Rocco a lot. It's fine. The bad thing is its entire message is like, reboots are okay, but it's okay to not like reboots, but you have to deal with them because they exist.
Yeah. Like change is good. Let it happen. But also, if you don't, that's okay.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It very much wants to have it both ways, which is a little dumb, if you ask me.
A little wishy-washy for Rocco, too, which the original series came down pretty hard on one side
pretty
or another
much everything.
On a lot of stuff. Yeah. Anyhow.
Absolutely. But yeah, Rocco's is fun. It's fine. Like, I would be open to watching it again if they brought it back like as a full series.
Yeah, I mean, it's also kind of funny because... the Big Heads kid is quite literally like the creator mouthpiece. It's voiced by Joe, like that character's voiced by Joe Murray.
Have you heard about the other major plot beat of the Rocco reboot?
Yeah, I know what happens. John? Yeah. But it's just funny that they have all of this stuff involving that character and like reboots and remakes and changes and shit. That character is quite literally the author mouthpiece. Joe Murray voices that character, voiced it in the original series too.
Well, since we're talking about Rocco, my last point on it is, It's really starting to bug me that, like, all of this reboot stuff that we're getting now always kind of leans on the same joke, and the joke is, wow, isn't the future stupid?
Yeah.
Aren't all the changes that have happened since the show was on the air bad? And I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it.
I mean, it would have been a better special if it had come out against that, where it's like, no, this is your life, you have to live it. You know?
I kind of got the sense that the Rocco special was pretty pissed off that it even had to exist in the first place.
I kind of got that too. Like, yeah, a little bit. Because
it's mad at its own existence.
When your reboot is entirely about the premise of doing a reboot and everybody in their power not wanting to do a reboot, yeah, kind of got to think about it a little
Isn't
bit.
Isn't that kind of what Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was? It was a Jay and Silent Bob movie about what a bad idea a Jay and Silent Bob movie would be.
And guess what? They're making another one, and it's called Jay and Silent Bob Movie Reboot, where the plot is it's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but they're making a reboot, and they have to stop them before they make the reboot.
Man, if it was anybody but Kevin Smith.
Man, we're really not talking about Cranberry Christmas at all, are we?
Okay.
I really don't want to. Like, you know what? You know what? Cranberry Christmas is bad. Let's talk about video games.
It is the 10th anniversary of Batman Arkham Asylum.
I've been playing Dicey Dungeons, and it's really good.
I have been playing GTA Online, and also the new season of Diablo 3 just started the other day.
What's the gimmick this season? This is seriously how much I don't want to talk about Cranberry Christmas.
The gimmick this season is something triumvirate, which I don't think they know that triumvirate means three guys, because it's just three things.
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while, a, like, pool will spawn on the ground that you stand in, and depending on what color the pool is, red, green, or blue, it gives you a different buff.
Okay.
But you have to stand in the pool, and it doesn't last very long, so it's not the most useful thing.
Anyways, sorry. So, Cranberry Christmas is...
So we're so close to the end of discussing this thing. Let's just power through it. I know we all hate this. I know this hell existence we've crafted for ourselves is interminable. But, like, we're so close. Let's just wrap it up, and then we'll move on.
So where are we? Okay, so I decided to play a Witch Doctor this season, because I hadn't played a Witch Doctor yet.
Are you playing on PC?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a Switch to play before.
I wish there was crossplay, because that'd be a lot of fun. But, anyways, Cranberry Christmas. So here's the thing about Cranberry Christmas. I don't want to give it credit for this, but I'll give it credit for this. It did not really shill out the cranberry thing. Like, it could have been so much more an ad for, like, Ocean Spray cranberries. But other than some cookies, it wasn't, which is good.
I was fully prepared for this to be like 100,000% branded by Ocean Spray, and I was pleasantly incorrect.
Yes,
there's like Ocean Spray doesn't exist in the world of Cranberry Christmas
in
which
this
I appreciate.
Universe. It's very bit refreshing.
I have to say, just because I'm a little more broke brained, I was more disappointed that the problem wasn't resolved through the power of Ocean Spray.
Like, they come around, they come to a table with glasses of Ocean Spray cranberry juice and Ocean Spray cranberry cookies, and because of the sheer power of Ocean Spray cranberries, they forgive one another and reconcile.
Yeah, it's just a montage of them drinking cranberry juice while Barry Manilow sings a cover of Why Can't We Be Friends?
Or like some kind of twist where Whiskers reveals that, oh yeah, the deed to his cranberry bog is in his lockbox at work, and then we see this long tracking shot of him going to the office and to discover that he actually works at and owns Ocean Spray Cranberry.
Yes. Ocean Spray Cranberry is a growers cooperative similar to Florida Oranges. Just so you know, they produce over 90% of cranberries produced in the United States. Just so you know.
That's why Mr. Grape is so mad. He obviously owns the California Raisin Empire.
Mm-hmm. And his empire is crumbling.
He spent too much on toys and cartoons. Is there a California Raisins Christmas special?
There's gotta be. I think there is.
Excuse me. Have y'all never seen A Claymation Christmas?
That's the one.
Which features the California Raisins singing a very good version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Is it really good? Is it?
I mean, because they're voiced by the Temptations, so yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I'm not BSing you here. It's actually legitimately good.
Okay.
Man, if you can call it Claymation Christmas, I'm picturing like a crossover that has like the California Raisins, Mr. Bill, Gumby.
I think that's what it was, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was all done by, like, the Will Vinton animation studio, who went on to be bought out by the people who founded Laika.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm getting a little bit of a history lesson. This is edification. This is good stuff. Like,
yeah, like, Will Vinton is an interesting guy, and he just, like, recently passed away, which is a bit of a downer. But, like, he created the California Raisins. He created the Domino's Pizza Noid. He did a bunch of other like really crazy claymation stuff in like the late 80s and early 90s. But yeah, we should do the claymation. I think I've been saying we should do the Claymation Christmas special for like 3 years.
I think you have. But the important thing you're trying to tell me, ooh, bless you. The important thing you're trying to tell me is that the next feature Laika film could be about the Noid.
It's entirely possible.
Bring it on.
Imagine if you will.
And this will be the time that Laika gets the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature.
I could have sworn we watched a Laika thing before, but they didn't make any Christmas shit.
Nope.
I don't think we've done like a claymation thing. Any claymation thing before.
Or any
well,
stop
Nightmare
motion.
Before Christmas notwithstanding.
Yeah, that's Nightmare Before Christmas dude joined Laika, yeah.
Yeah, but imagine if you will, a feature film about the Noid that does for the Noid what the Wachowskis did for Speed Racer.
I'm in.
Makes you talk about for 2 weeks and then you forget about it?
I mean,
speak for yourself, man.
I am.
If it's Leica, I'm already in, so forget about it.
Like, I am all about, like, a Noid rebranding here that brings us all of the gravitas and special effects wizardry that the Noid deserves.
Man, I'm just thinking now of, like, a Werner Herzog Noid movie. It's just Bad Lieutenant Porter called New Orleans, but with a Noid. It's the 17 Noid movie.
Where the Noid is still inexplicably voiced by Nicolas Cage.
I've tried to get us back on track a couple of times. We're not talking about A Cranberry Christmas anymore, are we, gents?
Not a single solitary bit.
Oh.
No.
They clean the house. The sister decides to move in with him. They find the deed. The sheriff shows up. Everyone yells at Mr. Grape, and then he reveals that the reason he's a big, giant f***ing asshole is because everyone was an asshole to him when he was a kid, so they stopped being assholes to him. Everyone eats cranberries, and they're all happy at the end.
That's it. And you know what? There's really not a lot to this plot.
There are two Barry Manilow songs in it, which I expected more.
There's the beginning, Christmas is just around a corner, and then there's the one that's, you're an asshole, Mr. Grape.
Yeah.
You're an asshole, Mr. Grape, you really are.
Suck.
The last thing I want to say about Mr. Grape is that every time he comes outside to yell at the children to get off of his pond, he has to do it by sledding down the hill to the pond.
It's weird, right?
And he always crashes, and they always make fun of him.
And it's always the same cut because they reused a bunch of animation for this special.
Oh, yeah, they did. But, like, you know, I would be pissed off, too, if that's how I had to yell at children every day, by sledding down a hill and then crashing.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord. So because this is a stocking stuffer, I have to now ask the question, would you show this to a Christmas party full of people trying to have a good time?
ABC Family wouldn't even show it to a party full of Christmas people anymore.
Yeah, there's a reason this was lost. And it's not that it's offensively bad. It is because it's offensively absolutely nothing. They could have shown a fish tank for 25 minutes, and it probably would have been a little more engrossing.
Would they have filled the fish tank with Ocean Spray cranberry juice?
Yes.
And put some fake fish in it.
Those fish probably would have died
Imagining, like, a camera focused on a cranberry bog where Barry Manilow just goes, cranberry, over the top of it for 20 minutes.
Now that's something I would want to see.
Ocean Spray presents A Cranberry Christmas as as Barry Manilow croons berries over cranberries.
See, here's the weird thing, is it's a lot of wasted potential because you can't deny that the voice actors involved and Barry Manilow have talent.
I just realized we're basically saying this would have been better if it was Wacky Deli.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're saying. I mean,
mayo for 25 minutes. Genius.
This. You're absolutely right. If this had been absolutely literally nothing for 25 minutes, we would be hailing it as an experimental masterpiece. But because it's just the rotest, basic, most bare bones Christmas special plot you can imagine, and they do absolutely nothing with it, we're just slamming it all over the place.
I know I say it's true. I know I say it so often, but the primary sin of this thing is just the roteness, and nothing happens, and it's just ugh. It's also ugh.
Like it's not even, like, cravenly corporate, you know, trying to shill for Ocean Spray. They didn't even do that.
See, and that's the thing. It's like, I wish I could hate it. I wish it did that so I could have, like, I could hate it for that. But it's just so nothing. There's nothing there.
Like, okay, I'm going to bring it back to video game chat one last time.
Okay.
At least when Burger King made Sneak King, they had Burger King stuff all over the game.
Fair enough.
Have you guys ever played Sneak King?
I'm aware of Sneak King.
There was three of them. There's Sneak King, Big Bump, and what was the last one?
Pocket Bike Racers.
Oh, a racer game, of course. I should have guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But Sneak King is literally a game where you sneak around at various levels as the Burger King king, offering people hamburgers from Burger King.
Oh, it's Hitman. Okay.
Why? Did,
yeah, it's Hitman.
Didn't they?
Where you have to sneak up on people and give them burgers.
Didn't they get rid of the king for a while because people said he was unsettling? And I was like, that's the entire point. And it was actually really funny.
I think they got rid of him because they weren't doing anything funny with him. And then when they brought him back, they realized, hey, we can do funny stuff with him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Sneak King and that crap.
No, I'm saying they took him away after that again, where it was like the really creepy king mask when it was good and like an actual good advertising.
We haven't seen that. Yeah, you're right. We haven't seen that like in a while.
Yeah.
The Sneak King was like 12 years ago.
Yes.
But all I'm saying is that like, you know, for Ocean Spray paid to have a Christmas cartoon about cranberries made, and they didn't Ocean Spray it up. Like, on the one hand, that's kind of, like, impressive, and I admire them for it, but on the other hand, it's not giving us anything to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched it, and my entire reaction is just not bad, but have you seen Wacky Deli?
Yeah. So, I would, I'll say this. I would totally put this on at a Christmas party when I was ready for everyone to leave.
I think as a historical curiosity, it's not interesting enough to show the entire thing, but it's like, hey, did you know they made this TV special about cranberries that's so bad they won't even show it to fill time?
Oh, yeah, this is totally a trivia question.
Like, have it be the cranberry preserves in your Cosmic Christmas and Star Wars Holiday Special sandwich.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing about it too, is it's like, it's not good, but it's definitely not so bad it's good either. It is so nothing. It is the most nothing out of anything I think we've ever watched for this show.
And we made you people listen to it, so the joke is really on you.
Well, we really just did video game and cartoon sidebars for the entire time, because that is how desperate we are to not talk about this.
Just to pull back the curtain for one moment. Before we recorded this episode, we talked amongst ourselves whether or not we should really, really play up like some kind of a goof or gag involving Ocean Spray. And we decided not to, on the off chance that this special gave us nothing to work with. And then this episode gave us nothing to work with.
Boy, were we right. We were originally thinking about making this a full featured episode. Can you believe that?
I guess the last thing we'll say about this is, if you really want to see for yourself, see that we're not lying to you about just how milquetoast bland this thing is. It's on YouTube in its entirety.
Put it on while you're doing something like laundry or dishes or whatever. Don't give this your undivided attention. I certainly didn't. Thank goodness, because I knew. I mean, I watched it.
I'm gonna say differently. I'm gonna say yes. Give this your undivided attention.
Why would
because you? You will then see that we are not lying to you.
I suppose.
I'm not saying this is a torture challenge, but, you know.
It's not. It's just, it may as well, you may as well just, if you're watching it on, like, a phone, you may as well just be looking at a dark screen. It is that,
But no, I mean, go and watch it online. Tell us how far you made it into this thing before you tapped out. I would like to know.
Okay. Not tapped out before you stop paying attention to it, because that's really the test. You can watch all of it, but I want to see how long you can go before you stop giving it your undivided attention. Before you start looking at your phone, before you start playing a game, tell me how long you make it.
Before you decide to take a pee break because nothing is happening.
Yes.
Please do that. Send those to us at Christmas Creeps on Twitter or at xmascreeps@gmail.com. Or if you have any other strange, weird, or just plain awful Christmas specials you'd like us to cover, send those to us as well, because we are absolutely ready to demolish this stuff.
Here's a challenge for you, my friend. We should do the Christmas Cranberry live stream where we watch this 12 times in a row. Christmas is just around the corner.
Or I could just go play Diablo 3, I mean.
No, we would be locked in a room without any phones, any devices. All we have is a live streaming rig and this looping.
I have two hands, we all have necks, I could solve the problem.
I think, well, see, now that John is threatening to murder every last one of us, I think that's where we're going to have to cut it short.
Happy Christmas! Happy Christmas! Woohoo!
So yeah, that was Cranberry Christmas, everybody. A good time was had by all, right?
A dinosaur story? It doesn't work now. Damn it.
Does that joke work here? I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, it's out there on the internet if you want to watch it. We'll put a link in the show notes. But this being kind of, you know, so late in the season, you know, Christmas is almost a week away. We figured now would be a good time to do a little bit of listener feedback. We don't receive a whole lot of listener feedback on this show, but we would love to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments or any of that fun stuff, you can email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com, like our friend Jacob did a couple weeks back. So I want to read a bit of his letter here to you. Thank you. This is the third letter he sent us around the holiday season, and he wants to let us know that living in the Czech Republic, they are not all that big on A Christmas Story. He says, I have a confession to make. I've never, not once in my life, ever seen, as he puts it, The Christmas Story. And he says, in the Czech Republic, we are huge on watching American Christmas cinema, but literally nobody has ever heard of something called The Christmas Story. As far as Hollywood Christmas movies are concerned, our culture is completely dominated by these stand-your-ground advertisements you may know as Home Alone and Home Alone 2.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. A Christmas Story is a very specific piece of, like, nostalgia for 40s U.S. that is kind of specific to the culture, where Home Alone, I mean... A kid making grown men fall down, go boom is kind of universally funny.
Yeah, generally speaking. And also, you know, the Home Alone movies are like big, big studio, like Fox movies, Fox now Disney, I guess. But so it would make sense that those movies kind of travel around the world a lot further than A Christmas Story would. So I don't really begrudge him that. But it's, A Christmas Story is very much more of an American phenomenon. Home Alone is pretty universal, and I'm sure they created it and crafted it that way.
I was at a Michael's very recently, and they had a Christmas Story gingerbread house. And what made it a Christmas Story gingerbread house was that it had little paper cutout standees that you could put next to it that were just random Christmas Story things. Like, there was a car with a tree on top of it. It wasn't really their car. It looked more like the Simpsons station wagon. It had Flick with a stunt hooked to a light pole. And it had the leg lamp. So it was a very tenuous connection. And then it had Peter Billingsley's, like, 10-year-old face on the box, which, I mean, I'm well aware that that's licensed. He's getting paid mad bank to have his face on crap like that. I still think it would be, like, kind of unnerving to, like, see yourself 30 years ago on just crap in the store, though. It's like...
Yeah, that's got to be really odd. It's like for him and like Macaulay Culkin, just to see your childhood mug on just everything, it has to be
like, oh, yeah, that used
unnerving.
To be me.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's getting paid for it. So he probably isn't losing too much sleep over that. So is the house, is it actually like, does it actually look like the Parker house from the movie?
It looks like a gingerbread house you make at Christmas.
It's just I see it here. That's terrible. That's lazy and terrible, and I hate it.
I mean, I've seen worse, but not many.
I mean, honestly, you know what? Now that I think about it, the Parker House would be a great Lego set to put out for Christmas. Like a Lego Christmas Story playset.
I mean, they've done Dumber. They did a Lego Central Perk.
I mean, they did a Lego Big Bang Theory living room. So there's no reason why they shouldn't. And I think here and now we should make that our next mission for the next year is to get Lego to commission an official Christmas Story Parker House playset.
Yeah, it comes with the leg lamp and the Christmas tree and then the weird staircase, and then it comes with like 9,000 Bumpus Hounds.
Yeah. It would be great. It would come with a broken furnace that you could put underneath the house. It'd be awesome. I absolutely would support that. So that's going to have to be our sort of mission in 2020 is to get that made. So I guess that's going to do it for this episode of Christmas Creeps. We have one more episode left this year. We're going to drop it on Christmas Day. I think you'll be surprised. As you know, we like to do things that aren't Christmas movies on Christmas Day. So, yeah, look forward to that, everybody. Do we want to tease what that is, or have I done enough damage?
I mean,
already?
I'll just say, you know, the way we do July at Christmas, it is, in its own way, an incredibly American movie. It's mm-hmm. more of an ugly American movie, I would say, maybe.
Kind of like last year's movie where we did Team America at Christmas. We picked something that is not necessarily a parody of patriotism, but it features characters who definitely wrap themselves in the American flag kind of wrongheadedly. And we had a fun time recording it, and I'm sure you'll have a fun time listening to it. If you've listened to us long enough, you should know what to expect by now. So look for that to drop midnight on Christmas Eve. Get ready. It's coming. So before we go, John, is there anything left that we need to cover on this stocking stuffer?
No, I think that about covers it. I mean, we don't really have any solid plans for the new year yet, other than pick one of the pieces of bullshit Netflix put out.
Yeah, pick a Netflix thing. I think what we want to do is we want to dig a little bit more into the weird Christmas movies and the minutiae. Not necessarily like the Hallmark side, because again, that's a whole category, a whole kettle of fish.
And I'd rather chew off my own foot.
Yeah, we don't need to touch it. But like, A Karate Christmas Miracle is out there. I'm still stumping for a good copy of Santa Jaws to come out at some point. There's Christmas movies where kids are basically reenacting the plot of Groundhog Day. You know, there's all kinds of stuff out there, weird, strange, sort of under the radar stuff that we haven't even touched yet.
There's a sequel to Christmas Shoes and a sequel to that.
Yeah. And one of them stars Neil Patrick Harris. So yeah, come back on Christmas Day. We'll have a brand new episode here ready for you. Until then, I am Joseph Wade.
And I am Johnny Five, the human robot, who's going to go play Disco Elysium some more now.
Wishing y'all a happy holidays. Good night, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.